B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah. I tried to call him.
Tim Peeler thought he was calling coyotes.
Instead of them, him.
He got something that frightened even the self-proclaimed mountain man.
This thing was 10 foot tall. He had beautiful hair.
It scared me.
Sergeant Mark Self didn't see the creature this time.
There was a 8 to 10 foot hairy man-looking person.
But remembers the stories of a Sasquatch when he was a kid.
Was killing some animals, breaking in chicken houses, killing chickens.
It's the same M.O. that Tim says he saw for himself. The Sasquatch going after his dogs.
I come out here and rough talked him and run him off.
Got him to leave, called 911, then the creature came back.
And I said, get away from here. Get. Get. And he went right back out that path again.
Deputies filed a suspicious person report, and Tim is still recalling the details.
He looked like he had six fingers on each hand.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program, Town Fair Tire Studios. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can also get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app and listen to the show live, listen to the podcast. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Yesterday... you know how the Britney Spears documentary is out? And
yeah, I have not watched it. It just sounds depressing to me. I don't have an interest in seeing it.
It's boring. But the thing is part of it is that her fans are going back and they're saying people are very mean to Britney, and they show the late night hosts like making jokes about her and stuff. And so Paris Hilton has climbed onto this train. And if you recall Paris Hilton, if I asked you guys, and aside from the porn that launched her into celebrity, but what was Paris Hilton's character trait that made her famous, besides wealth? Or it was a personality trait.
I mean, was that she was someone who was, because I mean, she did that show, The Simple Life, where
right.
She was so detached from reality
that she
didn't know how to
person.
Deal with normal people. Right.
Yeah. The whole thing with her and the way she was marketed is she was this awful person. So she is now going on. She has a podcast, apparently, and she is going back and reviewing interviews she did from when she was famous. And saying, you know, playing the role of a tortured woman that was, can you look back and see how terrible this is? And so yesterday she had pulled out a David Letterman interview, which is actually very funny, where he just asked her, because she was in jail. And he asked her, like, what being in jail was like. And
why was she in jail again? I don't remember that.
I don't know. She was in jail for breaking the law for something.
I remember this. She's like, well, I don't want to talk about that. And Letterman looks at her and says, well, wow, that's all I want to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
And then she turns to Opie and Anthony, and they had her on, and she was just being awful. And they're like, all right, well, you're boring. Like, you can leave. And she's like, well, I'm going to leave. And they're like, good. And she's, and then her fans want to cancel Opie and Anthony, which is funny because the show hasn't been on the air in 8 years or whatever it is. And also, that I find it hysterical now that she's going back. Her whole fame, she was the first person. She was really the first person that was famous for being nothing, for not doing anything. She didn't sing. I mean, she tried to sing. She didn't sing. She couldn't sing. She couldn't dance. She didn't do comedy. She didn't act. She didn't do anything but be there and act terribly. And the idea that she would do interviews to promote herself who did nothing. Because it's not like, and this would be ridiculous too, but if someone came out and they're like, you know, I have a new album out where I've bared my soul to the world, you know, can we talk about this? Or, you know, I was just in, you know, I'm a professor of physics and I've just rediscovered a way. I've discovered a way that we could get to Mars or something like that. And the idea is that if people were mean to her in interviews, in her mind, mean to her in interviews to give their audience something entertaining, that they were these terrible people that, and she was this victim. Stop it. You made millions and millions and millions of dollars portraying yourself, probably correctly, at least at the time, as an awful person. And so people had you on the air, and she's like, all I wanted to talk to Letterman about was my new perfume. That's all I wanted to talk to Letterman about was my new... Well, that's not how interviews work.
So I guess that the reason she had gone to jail was that she had a she broke probation for several DUIs that she had. And then I'm seeing here also, I guess in 2010, she was arrested for cocaine possession in Las Vegas. So, but I think the one that Dave Letterman's talking about is, yeah, when she had to spend 45 days, or she was sentenced to 45 days. I don't know how many she actually served for violating parole for those DUIs.
But and she's like, I just wanted to go on there and talk about my fragrance. Okay. So you want to? This guy has got to entertain a national audience doing a comedy show, and the idea is that you're going to come on there and talk about perfume for 8 minutes. That's not how it works. And you're not that dumb, but this whole victim. So now her whole thing is that she's this big victim, and she's going after this Opie and Anthony interview. And by Opie and Anthony interview standards, it was nothing. I mean, it was just she was boring, and they were like, whatever. And she's like this, these men, and they're so attacking women. Shut up. Your whole thing, that was your whole thing, doing drugs and banging a bunch of guys. That's what you were famous for. Yeah, and then you want to go, what do you want them to talk to you about? And then you go in and you act awful. And then how do you want them to react to you? This whole retrospective woe is me tour by people is pathetic. Then don't do Letterman. Then don't do Opie and Anthony. Then don't promote, then don't. Have a reality show. If these guys, it's one thing if these guys were just, you know, relentlessly attacking you every single day and you said, please stop, I'm trying to, you know, improve my life, and they just blah, 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 blah. And even then, that's licensed. You're a public figure. But then I could see someone by mistake having sympathy for them. But the idea that you're to have a reality show, a stupid reality show, and you don't like the way people are interviewing you, and now everyone's supposed to go back, and the big thing is they want all these people canceled. They want Letterman and Opie and Anthony canceled. Cancel. They say cancel. That's the big buzzword. Cancel them. So, because they had the audacity to not ask Paris Hilton about her perfume. I've never heard anything so dumb in my life. How dumb people are. You can't go take a time capsule and not be famous and not then give all the money back. Give all the money to charity and invent a time machine where you just accept the Hilton money and go and feed starving kids for your whole life. That was what you did. I mean, it wasn't Mother Teresa going on Letterman or going on Opie and Anthony and them just going, what's underneath the robe, baby? I mean, this is what you did. Boy, that drives me crazy. Cancel them. Cancel them. You got to cancel them. Cancel them. Cancel them. Go back. Now, that's the big thing, is to go back through someone's career and sift through everything. Like when they tried to get Kimmel for doing the Karl Malone imitation. They wanted Kimmel canceled because he had the audacity to do a Karl Malone imitation.
I don't even know where to find the Britney Spears documentary. Like, where is that? I don't even know what
Hulu or one of them.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I saw my
daughter wanted to watch it, so I watched it on Hulu or something.
Okay, yeah, I just didn't. It was one of those things where it just sounded depressing. And, well, the more I read about it,
it's not depressing. But the thing you empathize with Britney Spears in that is the paparazzi. That you can empathize because everywhere, and then you can see why she went nuts, because everywhere she went, I mean, there's 100 photographers, like everywhere she went, no matter what was going on. And every mistake she made was there to be documented by 100 people. That you feel sympathy for. Not some late night guy doing a joke about her. That, I mean, you're making money. You're famous. You're trading on your likeness and personality.
But even the 100 photographers, that's what she wanted.
No, but I'm telling you, if you
someone made that choice for her because she was, what, 14 when she was first there? Like, no 14-year-old knows what they're getting into. Well, like, that's different.
Well, the paparazzi was there when she was an adult. But you do feel some sympathy because the paparazzi is ruthless. Yeah, and that's they're in your personal space and in your personal life. That I understand could suck, and I understand, and you kind of get why she freaked out the way she freaked out.
And the weirdness that's going on now with her dad being like the conservator, or however, whatever they call it, like, oh, basically being responsible for all the money that she makes when Britney Spears is what, like 40 now? Yeah. It's pretty strange how, you know, he's still got control of her cash. That part of it's interesting to me, but I don't know if they even focus on that.
Yeah, they focus a lot on that. I mean, it's boring when they focus on that.
So why is he still in charge of her money?
Because they think she's nuts.
Okay, and that's and she has no say in that as an adult.
Well, I mean, she keeps trying to get her money back in court, and they keep denying it.
I just want to know what basis, like on what, like
she's nuts.
Yeah, but I mean,
she's not mentally equipped to handle her money.
Did she have to take tests or something that showed that was the case? And why does he get the money?
I would refer you to the documentary.
I was just asking you because you had seen it. I'm not sure if there was like a nutshell.
The point of my conversation here is not the conservatory of Britney Spears. It's that I find it just revolting that people like Paris Hilton can go back and play a victim based on that they felt that they were interviewed in a mean way when their whole entire livelihood and whole entire process of being famous was being awful. That's ludicrous. And that, you know, all these men and these men, these sexist men, shut up. Why don't you do another Carl's Jr. commercial where you're naked in it? I mean, what are you talking about? Again, if you're Mother Teresa or if you're someone like that and they're like, put the phone downstairs like that. Okay, whatever. And even that, who cares? But then you'd have a point. But there's a bunch of people, like famous people and stuff too, that are like Zooey Deschanel is like, yeah, you go, Paris. Oh, shut up.
Uh-oh.
Shut up. I did an interview and they weren't nice to me. Oh, poor thing. Imagine that. It's not like, you know, Anthony pulled a gun on her and said, take your top off. I mean, again, as far as Opie and Anthony interviews go, it was nothing. We've done far worse. It just was garbage. Ugh. All right. Do we have Rich here?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Well, the two best teams of the East beat the snot out of each other last night. Unfortunately, the Bruins don't end up getting as many points as they wished.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Last night, Zdeno Chara came back to the Boston Garden as a member of the Washington Capitals.
Yep, and the two best teams in the East, they beat the hell out of each other yesterday.
Marchand gets the signal, now accelerates, grabs the puck, wheels into the slot, stick handles, shoots, and Vanacek gloves it. And this game has gone final. The Washington Capitals victorious in the shootout over the Boston Bruins 2-1 here at TD Garden.
It started out with two teams that couldn't put a puck on net and ended with a physical as hell back and forth, and at some point in between, a dude was railed in the balls. Bruins 2-1 in a shootout loss to the Capitals. It was the return of Zdeno Chara to the Garden, and that was greeted with one of those moments that reminded you that life is still really weird in 2021. A video tribute played for no one but the players into an empty arena, polite stick taps, and then back to hockey. I didn't even think the tribute was that good. Like, instead of pure Zdeno highlights and big moments as a Bruin, out of the 90 seconds that they were allotted, about half of it was wasted on season ticket holders that nobody knew on Zoom saying that he was awesome.
They played the raising of the cup, and they played, you know, him standing there after he had his broken jaw, which was a nice moment before the Stanley Cup Finals. But in reality, Chara's game has nothing to do with highlights. I mean, how many times can you isolate him wrapping up Sidney Crosby and keeping him off the puck? That's the problem.
You can't get 90 seconds worth of things that Zdeno Chara did here on and off the ice.
No, you can get him dressing up as a bunny rabbit. You can get him dressing. Yes. You can do that. That's true. They missed the children's hospital moment.
This was his big return, and you had a montage, and it was like, who are these people who are saying they like Zdeno Chara? And it was odd because like the volume was low in the arena, and just the players like nobody cared that it was going. There's been a really nice suspension of reality when you're watching some of these games. Like, they've done a pretty good job with like the fake crowd noise, and you forget, you know, what's actually going on. And then they show that, and you're like, oh yeah, things still kind of suck. I don't know. It was the whole thing was weird. I don't know if I would have done it. I would have waited. But then again, I wish someone would have scored early, but no one did. We had to wait a little bit for that.
Ridden off the puck by Grizzlick up top. The Caps had it, lost it, and now here's Marchand with a step over the line left side. Into the left circle, centers, Pastrnak, he scores! Brad Marchand set it up beautifully for David Pastrnak, who snaps it home. 1-0 Bruins.
And of course it was David Pastrnak, but that goal was quickly answered. Meanwhile, the legend of Trent Frederick continues to grow as he just continued to target Alex Ovechkin, who finally got sick of his crap and rammed his stick right into Frederick's balls. Do you remember a couple years ago when Brad Marchand did that, got ejected from the game, and people went insane calling for him to be suspended, kicked out of the league, and it wasn't even near as hard of a whamp that Alex Ovechkin gave Frederick last night?
Well, that was an up and under instead of a direct spear, but it's the two players, obviously.
So was Marchand. Marchand's was a up and under.
I thought it was a spear.
It was the Tampa one because I actually watched it this morning. I went to go because I was like, I know that people lost their minds, and there's like articles with all the tweets of people wanting him out of the league. It was what guy from the
is it Jake Dotchin? Is that
yeah,
the guy's
Jake Dotchin? Yeah. He goes right between the legs and rams it upwards. But Ovechkin, that was a nice...
Trent Frederick is nuts. Every time I watch this kid play, he's never going to score 20 goals in a season, but he's such a perfect agitator because he's not a little guy. I mean, if he agitates the heart of a guy, he can actually trade punches with him. And he went after Tom Wilson again last night, which is insane to start with. He knocked him down in the neutral zone, and Wilson got up, looked around, and saw who had hit him and like took the number, and you know, then they came together behind the net, and then Frederick behind the net drops the gloves in front of Ovechkin and says, let's go. Ovechkin is 6'3", 240, and for those who don't remember, I'm sure you guys do, remember that one-punch knockout of Svechnikov against Carolina 2 years ago? Well, you forget. I mean, he's the best goal scorer of this generation.
No, he's huge.
But he's mammoth.
Well, also, when Frederick got hit in the balls, he seemed to find it kind of funny.
Like, yeah, he was kind of smiling.
Yeah, he like went down and was laughing, so.
He's like, yeah, I finally did it. I got him pissed.
Like, but it was funny when he was trying to fight Ovechkin. Ovechkin just, he had his arms out like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Why in
gonna,
the world would I do?
Like,
why?
I'm not going to fight you.
God. There was like some, I mean, it got really physical at the very end of the first period. Because the first period was kind of tough to watch.
They got screwed at the end of the first period because it got very physical. And
McAvoy was
Hit McAvoy, and then McAvoy hit this guy back. And the guy lost his helmet and was playing without his helmet. And you're not allowed to do that.
You got
to
leave right away, and he didn't.
No, yes. No, he never left. I mean, yeah.
Oh, I thought he skated over to the bench after that.
Oh, no. He stuck around until there was a stoppage of play.
Oh, okay. I thought he looked around, didn't leave, and then
He was – because they had a scoring opportunity right there. Right. Maybe behind the play he eventually left. But he was out there, you know, during that scoring opportunity – And the Bruins were rightfully very upset about that. Yeah. And I'm like, this guy doesn't have a helmet on. He's out there like he thinks he's Ron Duguay. Come on.
Yeah.
You don't even have the sweet quaff.
McAvoy got leveled, and then he did it right back. And I'm like, all right, now we're talking. And that game was, I mean, it was obviously... Yeah, the lack of scoring was kind of ridiculous, but they made up for it near the end with all that physicality. That was just unbelievable. And Zdeno Chara roughing up Patrice Bergeron at one point. I didn't like that at all. How dare you, sir? That's your friend right there.
Not anymore.
He's like rolling on top of him.
Yeah.
Just,
I would do the same thing if I'm playing the Bruins.
Well, Zdeno's dad, you know, used to stretch him out in the back.
Right. So Zdenek.
Zdeno, come back here. I have to torture you.
Tuukka was brilliant as well, especially in the clutch minutes near the end. But the Capitals, they end up going on to win their fifth straight. And here is Brad Marchand afterwards.
Playoff-type game, got a little more physical as the game went on. But, you know, that's what we have to expect every night. We got to be able to play that way each and every game and compete that hard and be that physical and kind of build our game as the season goes on. Because that's how we have to play to win in playoffs. So that's our goal.
So Cassidy was also glad that Zdeno got a nice tribute, but recognized that it was a little strange.
Well, I felt a little bad for him that there wasn't, you know, 18,000 plus fans here giving the ovation he deserved, to be honest with you. That would have been a real nice thing for him. But obviously that's not able to be done right now with the circumstances. So too bad for him.
So one interesting thing to note during the broadcast yesterday, Bob McKenzie said that the Bruins are open to signing Tuukka Rask and Yarho Halak during the season if the goalies are interested. He also said that the Bruins are open to adding significant defensemen or a forward, but the Tuukka news is something worth keeping an eye on because, according to him, it seems like they're saying that the ball is in his court now. All the questions as to whether or not they would keep him around, or it sounds like they've already had discussions, and now whether or not the number is acceptable to Tuukka, you know, that obviously makes a difference, but... Talks have started, according to Bob McKenzie, and right now, Tuca's the one who can do the thumbs up or thumbs down with what's been offered.
Well, Tuukka
wants to come back, right?
Yeah, you got to figure. So, yeah, I get signing Tuukka, but you have two kids in Providence that can play goaltender, can back up right now. So, if they wasted cap space on Halak, and we can get into it later, but this cap situation in the NHL is going to continue to be a pain in the ass because Canada, again, bends over and lets the government do whatever they want, and then the government goes, "Dorr."
This is going to be a real problem, especially for the seven Canadian teams.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is going to be a real problem.
Canada's got it all together. You'd never go outside, but by the way, we can... So lose your business, but while you're losing your business, we can't even vaccinate you because we can't get that together.
Right. Yeah, their rollout has been awful.
Their rollout is slow.
Yeah. And they also were the first to tell you, don't do anything. Don't do anything. We can't do anything. You can't come up here. And then they can't even get the vaccinations out. They were so concerned about it. Don't get me going with that. I mean, if you're going to be a socialist country and just tell your people that they can't do anything and let everyone's businesses rot, at least be able to handle your vaccination rollout. So we might never see a Canadian team. We might not see a Canadian team until 2023. So just let that sink in.
Yeah.
And 2023, maybe. And so that cap might not go up. So anyway, long story short, I don't see a scenario that I would re-sign Halak.
There's no reason to. You can pay kids less than $1 million to back up.
It was time for Chara to leave. It's time to see what you have with you two goaltenders, and they have a goaltender that the big kid Vlad or whatever
Vladar,
whatever Vladar, about Vladar. Yes. But the other kid
Swayman
is. With got a little pedigree on him.
Yeah, he was a Hobey Baker finalist last year, and he and Vladar are alternating starts in Providence. Both of them have goals against of two or less.
Yeah, so
to start.
It's time to bring one of these kids up. So Tuukka, I'm all for. He's been great this year. I don't think he's a Tom Brady type that's going to insist to play until he's 40. But I think you could sign him for 2-3 years. You might be able to sign him for 2 years, and then that's
I wouldn't
that.
Give him much more than two.
I wouldn't either.
Considering how his attitude's been, I want to play, maybe I don't.
What I'm saying is that maybe he wouldn't push for that third year. I wouldn't want to sign him to 3 years either. I'd like to sign him to 1 year, but that's not going to happen, and if I'm Rask, I'm not doing that. So
if I'm Rask, I'm not doing two. Someone's going to offer you more.
But it depends what he wants, is what I'm saying.
Before this season started, he went on record saying he only wanted to play here.
Yeah.
Now, that may change.
How many people say that?
My point is that the whole point of this is that Rask might just say fine at two, and then I know I'm in Boston, and then that's all I want to play. Obviously, my point was he might not play hardball and ask for a multi-year deal. Is he might say fine too, and if I was the Bruins, I would do that today. But at three, we're in a conversation. But I don't want Halak. You got to at some point play a kid, and you got two down there that are split in time, and it's just a backup. So a backup that's going to have to play 40% of the games, but it's time. You got to do it eventually. You don't need two old-ass goaltenders forever.
Well, because this one aspect of the season rules, we get to see some fresh anger again from both teams tomorrow night when, of course, the Capitals and the Bruins face off once again at the Garden.
I'm psyched about this. I loved watching that game. They were very limited. I mean, the Bruins went 13 minutes without a shot. Then the Capitals went 20 minutes without a shot. The two teams beat the snot out of each other. I want 7 games of this. This was fun.
I would like a couple goals, but...
I don't know if the Bruins can win 7 games against these guys.
Washington took as much as they gave last night. I mean, the hitting was even.
Well, the Bruins were ahead for a couple, at least through the second period.
The Bruins are just as physical. I mean, look, you might look at the lineup and say Washington is a bit more skilled simply because they're more experienced, but I think the Bruins can hold their own with this team for 7 games.
Oh, in the playoffs?
Sure I do.
Yeah. It's just that they're snake bit against the Capitals.
That's true.
If you take that snake bit and, magical thinking part out of it, yeah, sure. I'm not positive if they're healthy that they can play with anyone if they're healthy. But that's a big if they're healthy. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Well, it looks like a little more news is leaking out about where the Patriots' heads are at as far as the current quarterback market. We'll get to some of those nuggets.
All right, here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman-like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Tubes. On Roof, baby. Get lube with the tube. All right, Rich, what's going on?
Yeah, it sure does seem like we're inching closer and closer to Cam Newton being the quarterback of the Patriots this year, doesn't it? Yesterday, our friend Mike Giardi reported that the Patriots are not enamored with the current class of free agent quarterbacks. Of course, that could change as far as Jimmy G and Mariota is concerned. But as of right now, he said that the people he's spoken with are hoping for other dominoes to fall and create more and better inventory. So adding to that yesterday was Greg Bedard, who wrote something in his own Boston Sports Journal, and he said that Marcus Mariota and his camp are refusing to tear up the final year of his deal that calls for him to be a $10 million backup or a $20 million starter. He also says that Mariota isn't appealing to the Patriots due to his laid-back personality and really isn't high on their list. They said that's not what they're looking for in a leader for this team. He also doesn't expect the Patriots to be players for Ryan Fitzpatrick. I actually wouldn't mind Ryan Fitzpatrick, to be quite honest. I mean, taking a look at everything else that's available. But according to Bedard, Jimmy Garoppolo is still plan A for the Patriots. And the key to that being a reality is if the Niners make a move for Teddy Bridgewater. And that is, I guess, a move that's gaining more and more smoke as the days roll on. They seem to like the guy and think that he would fit well into their system. And then Bedard drops the hammer that we all feared, writing, quote, "I hate to say this, but I now think the Patriots are talking themselves into bringing back Cam Newton. Or at least that Bill Belichick will, but maybe not as the starter, as part of a room. They really think his surrounding cast was a big problem." I'm sure that was
really
it. Just the guys around him. Had nothing to do with the fact that he couldn't throw and his arm was basically a dead noodle at the end of the season. He said, quote, "The more I talk to people about around the team, hearing these people talk about Cam Newton and that they just don't dismiss the talk and in fact go out of their way to explain it, it's just very odd. It's almost like they think this is a fait accompli where Bill is going to bring him back and they've sort of just talked themselves into it and now they are justifying it." Egad. And then, to make things worse, he started mentioning Gardner Minshew and Andy Dalton. I thought my head was going to explode. But nowhere in the article, in fairness, does he mention Jarrett Stidham. So you have that going for you. I can't. It's so amazing to me when you compare the talk last offseason about Jarrett Stidham. And now you've got all of the, I mean, how many names are mentioned before him? There might be 15 names that people have mentioned to be the quarterback of the Patriots before Stidham is even, like, is he still on the team the way he's being talked about, or not talked about, rather?
I've turned 180 degrees on Minshew. His numbers are fine, whatever. But so, just specifically for content for us, for the fall and the winter, I would like the Patriots to bring him in and then draft a quarterback, and you get rid of Stidham, and then you move forward. You have Minshew here for a year or two. He can be mediocre, and he can be a placeholder for a couple of years. And then the kid who you draft will be better, and you get rid of Minshew, and the kid is away you go.
Why get Minshew when you can get Fitzpatrick? Like, why not get Fitzpatrick?
Because he's a lot older, and the injury risk is higher.
Yeah, but he's better. And Fitzpatrick, I think, is kind of a funny story, too, that he's your guy. Gardner Minshew, he annoys me. And now,
of course he does.
His numbers have been okay, although I don't think he ended his time there very well. Didn't he peter out there at the end?
He's not their quarterback anymore. I mean,
yeah,
so
he petered out and ended up losing that gig. But I don't know. I don't want Gardner Minshew and Andy Dalton. I don't want that either.
I definitely don't want Andy Dalton, but I would take Minshew or Fitzpatrick. Throw them in a hat, but it's not like one is
Andy
markedly
Dalton,
better than the other.
I listen, at least Minshew's young, and maybe Bill is this incredible genius and can get him to do something.
Yeah, maybe lightning strikes and the guy turns out to be something.
But Dalton's a better quarterback than all those guys. I mean, Dalton's a better quarterback than Minshew.
Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Andy Dalton's fine, but he's not.
Well,
I think Ryan Fitzpatrick's got, I think he's a better quarterback if you just look at their numbers.
Well, look at what he's done with the teams he's been on, and he hasn't been very good. I mean,
Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
He was good with the Miami this year.
Not really.
I thought he was pretty good if you look at his numbers.
I remember it being a surprise when Flores went back to Tua.
Well, because Tua was so terrible.
And Dalton sucked with the Cowboys.
Dalton is a better quarterback than Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick was on a Jets team that all they had to do was beat a horrible Buffalo team to go to the playoffs in Week 17, and he couldn't do that. And he completely blew that game. Andy Dalton's been a playoff quarterback.
Well,
Fitzpatrick. Well, he's been a playoff quarterback.
He has, but it had more to do with the people around him than it did him.
He's been a playoff quarterback. How many times has Fitzpatrick gone to the playoffs?
Zero, I think, right? He didn't make it when he was the starting quarterback with Buffalo.
He didn't make it when he was with the Jets. He didn't make it when he was with Miami. So
I remember Fitzpatrick coming in here last game of the season two seasons ago and lighting the Patriots up, and the Patriots had something to play for, and he didn't.
Well, I've had Ryan Fitzpatrick as the starting quarterback of the team that I watch every week, and
sure.
I can tell you Ryan Fitzpatrick is not a good quarterback.
I'm not saying he's an all-pro, but he does have more moments than Dalton does.
He has more wild moments.
Look at Dalton, what he did with Dallas, and take a look at that, and then compare it to what Ryan Fitzpatrick did in Miami.
He was also
a decent amount of weapons, too.
Well, he didn't have Ezekiel Elliott for some of that. He also was really hurt. I mean, he got injured. So, listen, you can debate all day. I'm telling you that Andy Dalton's a better quarterback, but at that point, it doesn't really matter because you're not winning with either of them.
Better chance
to go in the playoffs with Dalton. But
the thing that was kind of scary that was in this Bedard article was he was talking about a scenario where it would be Gardner Minshew as your starter and Cam Newton as your backup. And I just...
This is what you get.
For content for us, that would be fantastic. Well,
but wouldn't the backup want to be a guy that you drafted? You know, just like...
No, he's a third-string guy. He's a third-string guy behind those two.
Oh, no, that's Brian Hoyer. Keep the room together.
Hey, if you really want to go all in, you sign Alex Smith and Fitz and go for it. That's what I think you
should
do.
Well, this is... unfortunately, for Patriots fans, this is just the way it's going to go.
No, I don't see. I think that Patriots fans understand that you're not going to have something great. But Gardner Minshew with your backup Cam Newton says we don't care about the future. Like, I mean, at least draft a guy and then bring in the
Gardner Minshew or someone like that. You have to draft a guy. No,
but
I agree
Cam's
with that.
Your backup, then F that. Nobody wants that.
No, you have to draft a quarterback in every draft until you find one. And I'm not saying you have to draft a quarterback in the first round, but I mean, you certainly have to draft a quarterback somewhere. You have to have evaluated someone to find something in them. Like, there's a kid from Stanford that only started 11 games, but he's, you know, 6'4", 220, and has a good arm. I mean, you might as well take him in round four.
It's like a Matt Cassel deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just bring him in and see what you got. I mean, so you have to draft a quarterback every year until you have one. That's just the way it goes. No, I'm with you guys. I mean... no one they bring in is going to be any good, but you have to have at least a young quarterback that you're developing as this all goes on.
Yeah, I don't think anyone minds one of these guys being quarterback as long as they're developing someone behind.
Sure, and that's my point about so Dalton, Minshew, Cam Newton. These are the names that you're going to get. I mean, you don't have a quarterback. This is the reality in the NFL. It's impossible to find a quarterback, and you saw what happened when you try to bring in a guy like Cam Newton and go, oh, well, maybe. No, you're better off with a young kid and see what you got.
I mean, I think that Ryan Tannehill and his story is driving coaches crazy because they're taking a look and saying, are any of these guys somebody that we know if they're just on a different team, they would be able to break out? And because, I mean, I know I wrote off Ryan Tannehill when he was in Miami. I thought that he sucked. And then all of a sudden he goes and plays for Tennessee, and now he's a really good quarterback. And I guarantee you there's a lot of coaches who are going to get suckered into thinking someone like Gardner Minshew or, I don't know, Sam Darnold is going to be your next guy.
Well, the thing with Tannehill is he was a first-round pick, and the thing with Darnold is that he's 23 and it was the third pick in the draft. A lot of executives really like Darnold, and that's the word around the league, and they...
And Douglas, by the way, threw out there that he would be open to trading Sam Darnold for the first time. He mentioned that, the GM of the Jets.
And he also said pretty much he has no interest in Deshaun Watson, which I actually believe because I don't think he wants to give up all those picks. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rick.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Walk.
It's a really good idea to be really active on Twitter. That is a one-way ticket to riches. There's no downside.
It's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
So I thought this was a pretty interesting observation. So Michael Silver was talking about what's going on with Russell Wilson. And, man, this talk just isn't going away. And if you listen to what Michael Silver has to say, it sounds like this could be real very soon.
The situation is worse than I previously believed. If the Seahawks are not at least having conversations about the possibility of a Russell Wilson trade right now, they're committing malpractice, because clearly he is that unhappy. It's not like he just made one comment after the season. He seems to be unhappy with the way that he is communicated to by head coach Pete Carroll, lack of willingness to let him have input into the offense, which led to the departure of offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer, by how much he's getting hit, which came from his own mouth. The Seahawks are not happy with the way this has gone down since the end of the season.
And I know we'll have the Bankroll Boys on in a moment, and maybe they can update us on what the odds are. But more and more and more, it seems almost crystal clear that the Raiders are the team that far and away right now is in the lead to make some sort of trade in order to get him. But, I mean, what started off as him kind of just running his mouth a little bit now is turning into what they're calling unsalvageable, that this is something where they can't sit down. And I guess that Russell Wilson truly is digging his feet into the dirt and isn't moving. So who would have thought it would ever come to this? But here we go. You may have having Russell Wilson getting his wish and then finding out that maybe the grass isn't always greener on the other side, you know?
Yeah, sell your Russell Wilson rookie cards now, because Russell Wilson's career is going down the tubes. He stinks. He's the worst.
See, I mean, he's a great quarterback. He's a great quarterback. Yeah, he still plays extremely well. I mean, he started off hot, and then he didn't afterwards. But, Fred, it was because, no one was covering for him. He doesn't have the offensive line that he needs there.
Yeah, they went ahead and fired the offensive coordinator to appease him, and that didn't do enough, and he doesn't want to get hit. Well, you're going to get hit wherever you go.
And by the way, I looked at Pro Football Focus, as you guys know. Somehow, I don't know how they grade these things, but they made a list of they ranked all the offensive lines in the NFL top to bottom. Patriots, by the way, were fourth overall. Cleveland was first. Seattle, right in the middle, 14th. Yeah. So not
atrocious. What's the Raiders? What's their offensive line situation?
I don't have it in front of me. I just remember this. I'd have to go look it up. But you guys were talking about the Seattle offensive line, which, by the way, in Wilson's career has been horrible at times. But not last year. Mm-hmm. Last year, they were middle of the pack.
Just imagine looking at DK Metcalf and say, you know what, I don't want to work with you anymore.
I know. I don't want that freak outside. I don't want to be able to toss it up and have him run under it.
You got a guy who looks like he is going to be one of the biggest studs in football over the next decade.
Yeah, Lockett hasn't been bad either. He's had some pretty good receivers to throw to. Yeah. That's true.
And he doesn't have a bad backfield either. So congratulations, Russell Wilson. Yeah, you're really... Get yourself into a situation where you won't make the playoffs and have fun there. He's the Ted Cruz of football. Just a day late, a dollar short. Awful. All right. The Bankroll Boys are here. We will have them. No commercials here, just the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.